Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time to go. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan. If you'd like to call into the pod, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays, Saturdays, but swing on by, check out what's going on over there, you know, catch up, missed, you never know, you know, you might find something new that you hadn't seen before. Of course, while you're at sportsradio.com, go ahead and hit that link yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan Z Man with 3 E's.
Oh, all right. So what is going on that I haven't noticed lately? Did I miss anything?
Not sure if you missed the Red Sox Yankees series that didn't include a doubleheader.
Yes, I did miss the majority of that. Not only did it not include a doubleheader, it also didn't include the third season that I spent so much time talking about. So,
you know, I found it interesting that, you know, and it's just, it's one of those things, and this has nothing to do so much so with the Yankees and Red Sox as it does with, I have no insulting words I can say that sound highly educational for Rob Manfred, but I mean, it's almost like it's a hypocrisy. Like you set forth these rules, but then you adjust things. I don't know. It's just the whole man on second, you know, completing games, calling games, whatever. That one game went into, well, I was surprised at first that they just kept playing through all that rain, and then they just shut the game down at the sixth inning and called it. You know, that was it. It's the end of the game. You know, we're not doing anything else. We're not going to make it up, you know, the other three innings next day. So, I don't know. It's just kind of confusing to me that that's the route you're going to go, but yet there's no place for, like, ties or anything like that. Or even the fact that, you know, like you brought up with, was it Baumgartner who threw that complete game, but it was only seven innings, so it doesn't count. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're just flying by the seat of their pants when you had 2 years. You know, I mean, you had the entire 2020. The only season was halfway played to kind of think about this stuff and do it logically, have it make sense. But it just, I don't know. When's it going to be time for someone who doesn't have their head up their ass in the office?
Well, you know, humorously, you mentioned the rainout game. Garrett Cole got credited with a complete that game.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that's probably why that's what stuck out in my mind. I watched the entire series. No, I'm kidding. I just watched all the recaps over the Sunday night. To kind of be prepared for, you know, today and whatnot. Because I thought this would be kind of a cool thing, Big Jack, if we pick a series and then, you know, I'll kind of do a little breakdown on it, whoever you think is a hot series. But kind of going there, you know, that's what kind of threw me off was that whole Garrett Cole complete game thing, but it was only six innings. You know, It just doesn't make sense to me, you know, what determines a complete game. Because I thought that a complete game was nine innings, regardless if you went to the 10th. You know, Johnny Cueto went 10 innings, was taken out in like the 10th inning, And he wasn't credited with a complete game. Granted, he didn't complete the game, but you know, how are you defining that? So I don't know. It was just kind of a thrown-off thing. I just, you know, again, these things don't make sense, and maybe that's why I brought up the Bumgarner no-hitter.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing that baffles me most is I see this, oh, yeah, this is a complete game, and, you know, well, wait, it was 6 innings or 7 innings, but Bumgarner no-hits a team, and he doesn't get credit for it.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the definition. You know, apparently it says a no-hitter has to be 9 innings somewhere along the way. I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to look into the rule book again because, you know, that even goes back to several years ago when Johnny Cueto did it. I think he did it in, like, 14 or 15 where he pretty much threw a no-hitter up until the 10th inning and gave it up. But, you know, from my understanding, technically, the rule-wise, a Major League Baseball game is complete when it's 9 innings. There, I've never, and again, I have to go dig deep into the rule book, but I've never really, it's never been said that it has to, you know, what the other things are that take away the complete game. You know, so, but it doesn't make sense. If you're going to say that Bumgarner didn't have a complete game, no hitter, 7 innings, you know, it's not like, I mean, Major League Baseball instituted the rule that the game ends at 7 innings. Just like with Gerrit Cole getting a 6-inning complete game, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, what they say here, definition, a no-hitter is defined by Major League Baseball when a pitcher or pitchers allows no hits during the entire course of a game, which consists of at least 9 innings. So, yeah, while a no-hitter has to be 9 innings, apparently a complete game can just be whatever the hell they want it to be.
But did Baumgartner even get credit for the complete game?
He got a complete game. Yeah, it's
oh,
a complete
okay.
game, but he doesn't get the no-hitter.
Yeah, you know, and so not to dwell on it for so long. Moving on to another series, you know, it's been hard to watch the Cubbies this season if you're a Cubs fan. The times that they win, it's great. Everyone loves it. But the other times haven't been so great. Like last night, I just wasn't too upset that I missed out on a whole lot of the game. But Sunday night, whatever happened, I couldn't really get to watching most of it. So I'm watching the end of it. And I forget what it is. Bases are loaded. A small ball is hit. And it wasn't even, was it a bunt? It couldn't have been a bunt. Just a bad hit, you know. A pitcher and catcher both go running for the ball. It was the catcher's ball all the way. Pitcher had no business going for that ball. You know, the way the ball was going towards the first base line, the pitcher, I don't remember if he was left-handed or whatnot. It was just a better play for the catcher. So, you know, I don't know if you would call this fundamentals, Big Jack, but in that situation with bases loaded, and, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like defense doesn't really matter to pitchers anymore, and not that it's the pitcher's fault, but just the way baseball is ran today. So he goes for the ball when trying to get that ball to get the out when it wasn't, you know, the end of the two outs. So he goes for that. They both go for it, leaving the catcher with only one option to throw to first. When in turn, had the pitcher ran to home, which was about 5 steps away, Contreras could have turned around, tossed that ball, got the out to stop the base, and then the pitcher could have thrown that ball to first base with a double play. I don't fully remember if that would have ended the inning or if it would have brought 2 outs into the inning, it brought enough into my game to turn it off. And then they ended up losing, like 4-2. It could have still been a tie game, and we could have went into that stupid-ass man-on-second crap, but, you know, turned off in the bottom after the ninth inning was over anyways. But it just irritated me so much, that it's like, you know, when we wrestled, it was called ring awareness. You know, you got to be aware of everything going on in the ring around you, not just, you know, the next move that you have going on. Would you call that diamond awareness, you know, field awareness? I just feel like there's a lot of players lacking that these days. And I think, you know, on top of that, it just shows the inexperience of what the Cubs have. And even if they were to make a run for it, there's no way they're beating the Dodgers or Giants or Padres in a 5-7 game series.
No, you know, what I did want to run by, since you brought up the Cubs and you can help me with this one here. You know, one of the favorite things for Cubs fans to do is to run players out of town. And apparently the new player who has to go today is Ken Hop. It's been decided apparently that he is no longer worth the trouble of keeping around. I guess my big question with it all, Dan, is obviously, A, I want to get your opinion on what you think of him, and then B, is there any fear that we get a Kyle Schwarber reprise where he gets the change of scenery and all of a sudden becomes the player that they thought he was going to be here?
So the first thing that comes to mind is, do the Pirates have anything that they could trade for? Because I think he would be kind of their kind of player. But, yeah, I totally think that's what would happen to him. You know, obviously the thing that sucks for Schwarber is being hurt right now, but, you know, what can you do? No, I think that's a huge factor in this. And, again, it goes back to – and I'm not – you know, don't sit there, don't sit back, you know, tweet me and tell me I'm an idiot and I'm wrong. But it goes back to the fact that Theo was way too excited to bring his guys up. You know, forget the BS that they did to Chris Bryant with the arbitration clock. Sometimes it's not just about the clock. Javi Baez shouldn't have spent the entire 2012 or 2013 season. He shouldn't have been playing in the major leagues. He should have been up in August. You know, I think Schwarber was rushed a little bit. Schwarber was rushed on top of the fact that they didn't even know where he was going to play. And I don't know if, you know, Theo was waking up every day waiting for Rob Manfred to text him and tell him, yeah, buddy, we're going with I'm going with your idea. We're just going to give you the universal DH next week. You know, I don't know if that's what Theo was doing the entire time, just sitting by. But he got off too much on bringing guys up too early. And with their system mixed with what Joe was doing, and that's the hard thing, you know, and I'm not watching enough Angels ball to see the difference between Joe Madden and the Angels and Joe Madden with the Cubs. But when you don't put any faith in a player and he can only play certain days, and then you have two guys that all play the same position, I still feel that these guys, young or older, were still showing up, driving up to the ballpark each and every day, wondering, am I going to play today? And if I play, what position am I going to play? You know, you're Ian Happ. Play center today? You want to play second? You want to play short? You know, did Javi, you know, break his finger or something? You know, what position am I going to play? You know, the only guy who knows what position he's going to play, if he plays, is basically Jason Hayward and Anthony Rizzo. So, you know, I know I rambled out a little bit, But it's just tiresome that you don't give the kid enough time to develop in the minors. Oh, he's ready. Look how great he is. He started off the 20-whatever season with the first home run of the season down in Miami. And then by June, he's in the minor leagues.
Well, you know, I guess the other kind of thing this leads me to is it possible we're looking at coaching deficiencies on the Cubs? Because it's been widely noted by multiple people that Kyle Schwarber worked with the Nationals hitting coach and has given him credit for a lot of his improvement. Schwarber was actually on pace to be that 50 home run guy that Theo Epstein promised us. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. for Cubs fans, it was going to be in another uniform. How much of an indictment is this on the Cubs coaching staff?
Well, I mean, you know, and this is a stupid one, and you really can't compare the NFL and Major League Baseball. And, you know, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that myself or you were huge Jay Cutler fans. But what was the one thing we recognized with Jay Cutler was the fact that the guy had a new offensive line coach every other season. You know, so he did everything he could, but every single year, unlike Tom Brady, he was learning a new system. Whereas I think Tom Brady's at that spot where he's kind of giving the input into the system. And the same thing here in Chicago. I mean, Tommy Haravia is probably the longest reigning pitching coach over, you know, this decade since Theo's taken over. Well, the Theo Jet team kind of came into place. I mean, how many different hitting coaches did they have? I almost said we. How many different hitting coaches? You know, how do you take a guy who's hitting well, and then why does he continuously kind of get worse at hitting?
That's just kind of a question. I mean, you would be giving up a young player again. Papp is just 26. So, you know, he does have a couple years of control left, so it's not like you're going to lose him anywhere. You know, and like what I was telling people, you know, especially the one person I talked to, is just animated to get rid of him. At this point, what does it matter? You know, they're 2 games under 500. They're in fourth place in the division. They're not going to catch the Brewers to win the division. They're not going to compete for a wild card spot. Wouldn't it be better to just let him play every day and see if he could figure it out and then make a decision in the offseason?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest problems, though, Big J, is the fact that they haven't done that. They don't let him play. But by not letting him play and kind of continuing this, we'll put you in when, you know, the new kid, Al Contrera, is not playing, you know, hitting this week, or whatever the philosophy is, thereby devaluing him. So then he loses the value that he could have had a couple of years ago, where when you call up any other team, hey, we want to trade. Well, we're not giving you anybody.
Well, you know, and that was my ultimate question. It's like, okay, trade him. What are you going to get for him at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to give you any value whatsoever for what you have? You know, and
no,
you know, like, funny thing is, you know, they're like, oh, well, Rafael Ortiz should be playing every day. What are you going to do with a 30-year-old journeyman outfielder? He's going to take out now and be the great Cub for, what, the next 5 years or 6 years until he's 35 or 36? You know, I mean, just because these guys come up and they get a little hot or show a little something, there's a reason why they weren't anybody else's number one guy. You know, there's a reason why the Cubs are patched with third. You know, there's reasoning behind the reason why J.T. Mariznick never became a full-time starter for the Astros.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff behind all of it. But for some reason, Cubs fans get so super excited about little things. And it's just kind of like, really, is it that bad? I mean, I get it's been 5 years now since we won a World Series, but is it that bad?
You know, that's the problem. I mean, I think on Sunday, I had on our local 670, and, you know, one of the morning show guys who, I don't know if it was a lifestyle change or what, you know, moved to just the weekends. I'm assuming he gave up his morning shift because I don't think a guy who loses his morning shift would, you know, stick around for a Sunday job. But he just started listing off names, Matt Duffy, you know, and I think they were contributing, but at the same time, this is not a team these are not guys you're building around. These are guys who have bounced around and just happened to land here because, you know, otherwise they wouldn't even have a job. And, you know, sorry, guys, but it's kind of true. It was, you know, what were they all? Minor league invitees? So,
yeah, well, let's face it.
They
landed here because they were cheap. Because that's what they were looking for this offseason. That's the only reason they're here.
Well, and it kind of goes kind of full circle with it because you ask, well, who would you get for Ian Happ? And let's be honest, if I'm a team with some prospects, you know, you always tout about the Dodgers and farm system that they put together. So let's just take the Dodgers as an example. And they've got some hot prospects in their system. And you're like, well, I got this guy Ian Happ, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, we might have issues at second and short one day, so he might be a good fit, blah, blah, blah. Who are we giving up, you know? Who are the Dodgers going to give up for Ian Happ? At the way that the Cubs have played him and shown his value now, you're not giving up those high prospects. Maybe you're giving up a kid that you drafted, you know, down in the 700th round of baseball drafting that plays, you know, single-A ball down in Oklahoma. I don't remember if Oklahoma's triple-A, but, you know, at the low-A ball that you really don't see, you know, him even turning out to be close to Urias or Walker Brewer or anything like that, Urias. So
right.
You kind of move that guy, or you're moving a guy like Matt Duffy. You know, I was going to say Jock Peterson, but I think Jock Peterson's value would have been a little higher than Ian Happ, where you wouldn't want to give him up for that. But that's kind of what you get for the way they value these guys. I mean, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but, you know, we've been saying since the World Series, should have traded Kyle Schwarber. Should have traded him that day. Who knows what you could have got, but I think they could have got a lot and bolstered some of that farm system, the pitching. And because, I mean, at the end of the day, we both knew, you and I know a lot of people knew this too, that he just wasn't a good fit for the Cubs. I still think he'd be a better fit in an American League team, but hey, he was doing it in Washington.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know, obviously, up hasn't really worked out. But again, at this point, we're all the way to
Yeah. Not much.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, you know, you're going to be like, oh, gotta, you know, we have to do this. Why? No, it doesn't matter if you send it back in or what you do with them. You're not going to get anything for them. Bottom line, you're going to get an A-ball prospect at best.
Yeah.
So, you know, how's that going to help you? Yu Darvish trade all over again. So
yeah. Well, and, you know, it's another, you know, and it's amazing how, you know, you brought up the cheap thing and the difference between John Lester and Jake Arrieta was, what, $500,000?
Yeah.
You know. So you just sit back and it's almost like, I don't even know if you can sit there and question what they're doing anymore, except, you know, kind of give yourself the face palm and a head shake. Unless I'm the only one who does it. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot of die-harders out there that are just, you know, still soaking it up, drinking that Jonestown Kool-Aid.
But, yeah, you know, again, it's just one of those things I find is that, you know, it's we've got to, you know, we got to get rid of a guy. Why do we have to get rid of him? Where is getting rid of Ian Happ going to make the Cubs a better team than what they are right now and get them, make them a contender?
No.
So yeah, I don't understand. You know, we went through this with Star Castro, you know, and I know I'm sure there were other players, you know, that we're going to chase out of town. It just doesn't make a ton of sense that, you know, that this would be the move to, you know, yeah, okay, great. Let's make the move. What good is it going to do?
Well, and like you said, number one, they've log-jammed the outfield again, the middle infield. You know, obviously that's Javi's spot until he walks away from the team in the offseason because, you know, the Ricketts only want to offer him $5 at the game or, you know, whatever ridiculous thing. And I'm sure he's got a good agent who's already knows what this kid's going to get in the offseason. He just has to wait, you know, for it to be all official. But, you know, it's like you said, you've got these guys like Jason Mariznick, some of these other veteran players that you picked up. Why? Why aren't you talking about moving them? Why aren't those the guys that are looking to be moved?
Yeah, who knows? Again, it's just kind of, it was just kind of baffling to me when it was like, and I mean, I'm still lost to the point that it's July 20th. The Cubs have still, you know, the only deal they've made has been Jock Peterson.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why is Chris Bryant on this roster? You know, that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you know, even, you know, Craig Kimbrell's still on this roster, probably your most valuable. Yet you're hanging on to him like you make some late season charge to the playoffs. So.
Well, you know,
I mean, you can literally go down this list past. So if you can't sign Rizzo or Baez, they're still here.
Yeah.
You know, is there a team that would give you something for a veteran like Eric Sogard or Jake Mariznick to add to their bench? You know, I mean, obviously you wouldn't get a top prospect, but you'd get something in return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, why not take it?
But, you know, and even part of that is, you know, and it kind of makes you sit back and wonder, what the hell does Jed do? Because he's essentially got Steele's playbook memorized because he's worked with him for so long that he's just following. He's not doing anything different. He's following the same exact formula. And let's be honest, obviously fantasy baseball and real life Major League Baseball is totally different scenarios. You know, you and I are general managers of our fantasy team. But, you know, one of the stupid little games I play is trying to trade for guys that I think that other teams might need. It hasn't worked out yet. because you haven't come knocking on my door for Kiki yet. But you know what I mean? It's like you can't just look at yourself. You got to look at the entire league. You got to see what you have that you can get from other people and kind of make those deals, which I think was something that Billy Beane did a little bit more of. And I don't know if that's just because we saw the movie and he kind of got the back end of what they did. But it makes sense. You know, you got to help build your team, but sometimes you got to help out other teams to get what you need.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's the, you know, the oddities to all this, just the fact that, you know, what are we going to keep Kimbrel and then pick up his option next year? Well, that would be pretty stupid. You know, I mean, and they have some valuable relievers. You know, Andrew Chafin has shown that he could be very valuable. He's got an option for next year. You know, I mean, you know, I would give Rex Brothers to anybody to be dumb enough to take him, but, you know, Tappy, you know, he's going to be at the end of the year. You know, I mean, are these guys going to want to come back to a loser unless you overpay them? Probably not. You know, Davies is a free agent. If somebody wants to come out as their fifth starter, a contender, you know, ship him off if you can get a deal. You know, why sit on these? What, we can watch him walk away for nothing again like we did with Schwarber and Lester?
Well, and that's kind of what I was going to say. You know, obviously we can't compare things. You know, I'm not going to say the Cubs should do what the Yankees did, but let's be honest. When the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, Chapman flat out said, I'm going back to New York. But at that same token or same time, they also moved Andrew Miller. They moved a couple – I don't know if they moved anybody else. I know there's a couple other key players that they moved. They got the value back. And then, of course, they re-signed Chapman. But they knew they weren't going to do it that season. So he – the Cashman that's there, he just decided, I'm going to – somehow tear this team down in half season, help build out a competitive team to go through this five-year plan BS. And he did so within half a season and probably should have had one or two World Series if, you know, there weren't confirmed cheating.
You know, I did numerous one of the lead stories on MLB.com is Bryant Goodis Chicago. Did you think we didn't know that? Okay. We're on. No.
But I don't know, like you said, you're going to be stuck in that Schwarber situation where Chris Bryant's going to walk. You're not going to get anything for him. And is this all because Jed was too nervous when he took the job on that he couldn't do any kind of finalization of contracts? I mean, despite whether he knew or not Theo was leaving, this should have been being worked on. You know, this shouldn't have been just hanging out there oh, hey, guys, we got our entire World Series roster up for renegotiation this year, but we're just going to wait till the season's over.
Yeah, to be fair, bringing Bryant back has nothing to do with Jed. There's no way the Rick agree to pay him what he wants.
No, I know that.
You know, they're cheap owners. For Jed to, you know, the only thing that tied Jed's hands is the fact that Bryant is still on this team, and he probably should have moved in the off season. But, you know, there wasn't a ton of movement, so maybe they couldn't get a deal they liked.
That is true. But
you know, especially with the year they had last year, you know, just being the 60-game regular season or whatever, you know, it just didn't work out. And then, maybe they had all those good feelings because they had such a weak schedule and they played well early. Maybe they thought Bryant would get sentimental and want to re-sign for less money. You know, I mean, there have been players that have been known to do that, but obviously with his agent, that didn't happen. So,
if I was his agent,
you know, now you... Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if it was a good enough deal, yeah, hey, great. You know, you got to remember, this is a team that offered him 10 years and $100 million.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get three times that money-wise on the free agent market. You know, he's got a chance to win between $275 million and $300 for 10 years as a free agent. Why would he have signed that deal a couple of years ago? That was just, you know, and then all you did was offend him and Boris. So that was smart. You know, I did the same thing this offseason. Balled him. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, obviously it's clear that Anthony Rizzo likes it in Chicago, and he would probably like to stay, but he was already on a team-friendly deal, and you offered him less money than what he was making now. Why the hell would he have taken?
Baseball's been very, very good to me.
Yeah, you know, but that's how, you know, that's how, you know, I mean, you've said it a million times. The Cubs are a big market team that act like a small market team. So, you know, basically what they're going to be now and probably the next few years are suppliers to contenders. You know, because I doubt they'll re-sign Wilson Contreras. You know, he's got one more year of arbitration. So he's looking at being done. I keep hearing how they want to bring Rizzo and Baez and Rizzo back, but, you know, they're probably not going to pay him what these guys are going to get on the open market. So unless they're going to keep, you know, take less to stay, it's just, it's not going to happen. Sorry. You know, I mean, you don't think with the shortstop trouble the Yankees are having, they're not putting together an offer for Javi Baez this offseason?
Just take a whole Cubs top shortstop.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just the, you know, goes. I mean, team, you know, any contender looking to fill the shortstop role is going to be interested in a guy like Baez. I did hear some talk that some teams were possibly interested in asking third base if he was willing to do that. You know, that would even open up more possibilities. You know, like your guy Didi is only on a one-year deal in Philly. You know, you don't think they're going to be interested in a guy like Baez next year?
Well, yeah, I don't know how much stupid money they have because they got to bring over what's his name? Bryant.
Yeah, but remember, they don't need Bryant now because they have a prospect at third base. They have Alec Baum, who's a quality young. I think the shortstop becomes more of a priority for them.
Yes, that is.
The only advantage is, well, you know, and then you do have to wonder. You know, Carlos Correa is a free agent. If he goes someplace else, does that throw the ass to Chris Bryant, the Javier Baez derby?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, would the Angels like to upgrade over Jose Iglesias? You know, I know he's had a good year there, but Baez is a much better offensive player. So, you know, I mean, there's going to be suitors who are probably going to be willing to pay. Will the Cubs meet those prices? Probably not. They'll just let them walk away like they did, which we'll get nothing for them.
But, you know, as long as everyone's still paying $75 a ticket, spending, you know, $100 to drink two beers and stand in line for an inning and a half just to get something to eat.
The thing to forget to understand is with Cub fans all, they don't need a winner because people show up on the field regardless. So there's no motivation to win. They don't have to sell out every game for those money. You know, because they're going to get, you know, 1,000 plus just about everyone at sales. Whether there are actually 30,000 in the building, who knows, but they're going to get above that every game.
Well, and don't forget now, Big Jack. All the young 20s want to get drunk in the bleachers and make a cup snake.
Right, and then hang out quickly, though, when the game is So, but yeah, just a couple questions here for you, Dan. The A's are leading the Angels 6-0. That game's in seventh. Also in the seventh, the Royals have just taken a 4-2 lead over the Brewers. So we did have a couple games going. Ivan, I used Shohei Ohtani as my pitcher last night on FanDuel, and he won me $4. He actually A's out for six. The bullpen stunk, and they ended up losing anyway. So while he did have a very good outing, and that'll be what we'll talk about, he did lose another and farther back in the standing. So,
you know, again, going back to LeBron James, what constitutes, what defines the most valuable player?
Yeah. You know, and I've given the whole thing. He's going to be the MVP. No what I say or what other people think or how anybody else does. But one game under 500, 10 out of first. Obviously, it looks like they're going two games under 500 and then the 10.5 games out of first, depending on how the Astros do tonight. So, yeah, you can have great years, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's projected to hit the home runs that he's on the rate to. Oh yeah, he's gonna get the MVP. I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of in awe of what he's doing, especially on like a limited schedule. So, you know, me personally, I'd like to see him playing 6 days a week, every day. Maybe just give him that one day off before his start.
Yeah, well, you know, he's playing more this year than he has been, and fortunately, he's healthy. That was
the biggest issue before. Yeah, no, and I just mean in general, just the way he's playing, and not a knock on the time they're giving him, but just the way he's playing, I mean, I think it's one of those where it's like, as a fan, you want to see him playing more, you know, just because it's been much better than anticipated for this season. And then, you know, it's the guy that we were sold on. The interesting thing to me, though, Jack, is he took that deal. And what happens with the Angels when that comes
up? For you, it was announced today that he has signed a multi-year partnership with Fanatics as the exclusive distributor of Shohei Ohtani autographs. Autographs, collectibles, and memorabilia to be official will sign back jerseys, photos, and select game-used items, not only in English, Dan, but in Japanese as well. Now, these do not affect baseball cards, just everything else. So there you go.
Hey, I mean, I don't know. When it comes to autographs, Big Jack, the only autograph that's worth anything to me is the one you get in person, not the one you buy off the internet.
Yeah. But, he joins a club that includes Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso as baseball players, Tom Brady, Trevor Lawrence, and Joe Burrow as NFL players. Sabrina, I always butcher her last name, I believe it's Ionescu as a WNBA player, and then Zion Williamson is the only NBA player signed to Fanatics. But it's a small little mark right now, but, you know,
yeah.
Dan, you wanna loan that Ohtani bat with his autograph, you're going to have to go to Fanatics.
Yeah, I just won't be able to afford that. I don't spend more than $15. Who knows what I paid when I was 10 years old for Frank Thomas's autograph, but I know we stood in line. But, you know, before we get out of here, we're cutting out a little early for my wife's birthday today. I know your weekend was busy watching the Red Sox and Yankees, but since I know you have access to HBO Max, I was wondering if, unlike my sister who went to the movie theater to see it, how much you enjoyed and how many times did you watch Space Jam? Is it Space Jam 2 or has it got like a subtitle to it?
Well, I don't even know. To be fair, I did watch it.
You did?
No, I did not. I thought about it. Here, actually, I found something real quick for you here, Dan. I wanted to look this up for you. For $449.99, you can get a Shohei Ohtani Los Angeles Angels Fanatic Authentic Autograph 2021 MLB All-Star Game Baseball Logo Baseball. So for just under $450, that's all you.
I mean, if it was the jersey he wore in the game, you know, if I was that big of a fan, I'd go for that. But $500 for a baseball? Man.
You can also get for the same price, Dan, you can get a, what do they describe this one as? This baseball is a home run derby money ball baseball. So... there is also just a home run derby baseball, if you're interested in that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd like a home run derby ball, but only if it was the one I caught in the outfield while I was there in Colorado.
So, well, those are some of the things that you can pick up already on FanDuel. If you would just like an autograph photograph, Dan, that's $399.99. If you get it framed, however, it's $479.99.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you're all set, man. You're ready to go. So, but like Dan said, we are going to cut out here a little wife's birthday music and let Dan pray with his lovely wife and his fine children. So here we go, if it'll play. We'll be back tomorrow at 4:30 for a full hour. Along the way, you can visit sportsmanradio.com. This will be blog talking at the lowest call. While you're there, you can follow that over to the Facebook page. If you're going to go on either, go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget to do it, which is at sportsmanradio. Feel free to look the animal up on the Facebook while we're there.
SportsTimeRadio.com. Should be able to hear Big Jack's full review of Space Jam 2 tomorrow.